Well, greetings, my friends, and welcome to another broadcast called The Voice of the Gospel. This is a Christ-exalting program dedicated to presenting the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. And I'm so grateful to God again today for this privilege I have of raising high the blood-stained banner of God's Son. And I thank God that I'm sheltered beneath that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. But tell me, friend, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Are you sheltered by the blood of God's Son? Or perhaps you're like so many people today, you don't have time to think about eternity and where your soul will be after you die. You know, it grieves me when I think of poor souls passing out into eternity at the rate of over 90 every minute, 5,400 every hour, 130,000 every day, and over 47 million every year. And most of them go down to a lost eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Yes, most people who are accountable to God for their sin go down to hell with all of its torment and pain and anguish. Over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Friends, as you sit in the comfort of your home or automobile today listening to this program, ask yourself these questions, and do so in the fear and presence of God. Where would my soul be if I died right now? If my heart stopped beating this very moment, where would my soul be throughout all eternity? Well, friends, these are most solemn questions, are they not? Yes, and over in Isaiah 33 and verse 14, we read two more very solemn questions. Listen to these. This is Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? With this soul-searching question before us, let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee, Lord, for the grace that brought him from heaven to earth to go all the way to Calvary and there shed that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. And our God, we would ask thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. And we trust thy God that thy Holy Spirit has constrained some of thine unsaved creatures to listen to the program whereby they might hear the words of eternal life and be saved. Lord, pluck them as brands from the burning. Save them for Jesus' sake, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a very familiar hymn, and it's entitled, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary, and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon.
I must see the hope, see the
I sure thank God today that we have a story to tell. Yes, the story of redeeming love expressed in the death of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures I'll be using as my text for today, a verse of scripture as we find it in the minor prophet called Joel. Joel chapter 3. The book of Joel, chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And I'll read verse 14. This is Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let me repeat the text. This is the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, in the Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to direct your attention to a most significant scripture which we find in the book of Joel, chapter 3, and verse 14. There we read, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Yes, this scripture verse, hidden away in the writings of the minor prophet Joel, is as currently up to date as any other scripture in the Word of God. It brings before us the fact that the people living in the world today are existing in the valley of decision, a valley located between eternity past and eternity future. This verse also brings before us the fact that the day of the Lord is near in this valley called life. And friends, as each and every one of us consider our position in this valley of decision today, may the Holy Spirit of God search our hearts and souls and reveal to us our true spiritual condition in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now, friends, if we were to stop long enough at the end of the day to analyze our actions during the day, we would be surprised, no doubt, to find out just how much of our life is taken up with making decisions. We decide what time we should get out of bed, what we should eat for breakfast, what clothes we should wear, what kind of books we should read, where we should go, and what we should do. Well, friends, these decisions are common decisions made by each and every one of us. And we make these decisions usually by habit, and I don't believe we consider them as having eternal value at all. But friend, whether you realize it or not, your sojourn on earth in this valley of decision is a period of time during which you are actively or passively making a decision upon which your soul's eternal destiny will depend. Yes, destiny is determined by decision. And I might add that since the Garden of Eden, mankind has been making these momentous decisions for or against his Creator God. You recall back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17 that God told Adam that if he partook of the forbidden fruit, he would immediately be the victim of spiritual death, and ultimately he would die physically. Well, friend, Adam and Eve had to make a decision. They had to either obey their Creator God or else rebel against His Word and suffer the consequences, which was separation from God. Well, I'm sure we all know what happened. Both Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, and the human race fell in the sight of God. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, sinner friends, our first parents made a very important decision away back there in the Garden of Eden. And their decision has brought with it all the sin, all the sorrow, all the sickness, yes, and all the separation we find in the world today. Over in Genesis chapter 4, we read of another vital decision that was made. You recall how the sons of Adam and Eve brought offerings unto God. And we're told that Abel brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. In other words, he shed innocent blood following the God-given pattern or precept in Genesis 3 and 21. But how about Cain? Cain brought an offering to God, all right, but it was the offering of his own efforts. Yes, the efforts of a God-cursed ground. We're told that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain's offering he had no respect. Friends, both Cain and Abel had a decision to make. They must either shed innocent blood as a spiritual sacrifice to God, or else they must rebel against God's pattern and offer their own works. Well, we know what happened. Abel obeyed and Cain rebelled, and the decisions they made determined their eternal destiny. Now, there are no doubt many of you listening in today, and you too are making the same decision that Cain made a long time ago. You're trying to please God with your own efforts. You're a church member, you read the Bible, you say your prayers, and you're an upstanding citizen in your community. You're industrious, you're virtuous, and you're law-abiding. But listen, friend, you're trying to please God by what you're doing rather than having faith in what His Son Jesus Christ has already done. In Titus 3 and verse 5 we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that we're saved. Again in Romans 3 and 10, God declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. And over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, here's what we read. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that, friend? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Sinner friend, please don't make the same decision that Cain made. No, don't try to please God by your so-called good works or religious ritual, because it just won't work. In fact, over in the book of Jude, we read where God says in verse 11, Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now friends, over in Genesis chapters 6 and 7, we read about some other decisions that were made. We read about some other multitudes who were in the valley of decision, and they were the antediluvians, just before the great flood. For 120 years, Noah warned these people to flee from the wrath of God. He told them that they could escape the deluge by entering the ark of safety. But friends, they refused. They rebelled. They had a decision to make. Either obey God's prophet or else continue on in their sin and invite the divine judgment of God. Well, you know what happened. Yes, you know the story well. Only 8 people believed the truth, and the others perished in the floodwaters of God's wrath. Yes, my friends, then as now, multitudes in the valley of decision, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, friends, if we were to turn over to Genesis chapter 19, we would read of still another very important decision. There you may recall how God sent 2 angels down to the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to deliver Lot and his family from the doom and damnation about to befall those cities of the plain. You remember, my friend, how that Lot and his wife were escorted from the cities by the angels, and how there was but one stipulation for their deliverance from the wrath of God. Friend, they were told not to look back. Not to look back. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that God was more than fair with these creatures of His. And yet Lot's wife made a decision which not only cost her her life, but also her soul. She rebelled against the word of God and looked back, and immediately she was turned into a pillar of salt. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Well, friends, there are many other examples in the word of God where people were confronted with an important decision to make. And we don't have time to go into the details of each case, but I'll just mention a few so that you will see the importance of the decisions they made. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, the prophet was at the crossroads of his service for God, and he declared, Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, friends, that was a very wise decision to make. And I trust that everyone listening in today has made that same decision. Over in Matthew chapter 27, Governor Pilate, he was the one who had to present the roaring crowd with an important decision too. Yes, he had to give him his decision. We asked him the question, What think ye of Christ? And he could find no fault in Christ. 3 times over he had to acknowledge that he was an innocent man. Yes, he called him a just person. And yet we hear that question that he asked the people, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Well, friends, that roaring mob had a decision to make. They could either have released the murderer named Barabbas, or else they could have released the man called Christ. And what was their decision that day? Away with this man! Crucify him! We'll not have this man to reign over us. Yes, release unto us Barabbas. Friends, they made a choice that day which sealed their eternal destiny. And I thank God that they took the Lord Jesus Christ and crucified him on the old rugged cross. Because if he hadn't died, there'd be no salvation available for you and I today. We'd all be doomed and damned to an eternity in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Yes, I thank God that his Son Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross so that I might go free. Friends, he was the just one dying for you and I the unjust so that he might bring us back to his Father God. Now I think of still another decision we read about in the Word of God over in Acts chapter 24. There you may recall the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel faithfully to the man called Governor Felix. And Felix was so convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that he actually trembled. But friends, he had a decision to make. He had to either trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or else reject the Son of God and remain in his sin. Well, what was his decision? Here's what he said to Paul. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Sinner friend, he made the wrong decision. He had been privileged to be exposed to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and yet he was procrastinating. He was putting off his decision to accept Christ, and he is probably in hell today because of a wrong decision. Sinner friend, I hope you don't make the same mistake Governor Felix made. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, here's what we read. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, God gives the sinner no guarantee of tomorrow if he rejects Jesus Christ today. Friend, today may be the last day of grace. At this time tomorrow, the grace of God may have ceased to exist. And that's why it's so important for sinners to make the right choice or decision today. To make the right decision, and that simply means to choose Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Yes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And friends, that brings to my mind the important decision of which we read in Acts chapter 26. There, King Agrippa was listening to the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel. And after Paul was finished, the king made this all-important decision. Here's what he said. Almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. My, what a decision that was. Here was King Agrippa, acknowledging that the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with his soul, and yet, because of the hardness of his heart, he made the wrong decision. And we have every reason to believe that King Agrippa, just like Governor Felix, is down in hell today. Over in Proverbs 29 and 1, here's what God says. He that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sinner friend, is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart and soul today? Do you realize you're making an important decision right now? Yes, either actively or passively, you are making the most important decision of your life. Because you are deciding for or against the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And sinner friend, it makes a difference for all eternity whether you are right or wrong today. And I trust that you who are yet unsaved will make the right decision right now. Yes, I hope you'll be like the publican of Luke chapter 18, or Zacchaeus of Luke chapter 19, or like the repentant thief of Luke chapter 23, or like Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, or like the Philippian jailer of Acts chapter 16. Yes, and I hope you'll be just like me, for I made the right decision back on June the 2nd of 1952. Friends, these examples that I've mentioned could be multiplied by the score because there were people who made the right choice. They made the right decision because they chose the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Friend, I can't help but think of a verse of Scripture we read of back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Here's what it says. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, friend, you'll have to acknowledge that God is being fair. He's telling you that he's presenting either eternal life or eternal death, either blessing or cursing to you right now. And he's saying, therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed or thine offspring may live. Listen, you who are parents unsaved listening in today, the likelihood is if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your seed or your offspring will likewise perish in their sin and go down to a lost sinner hell. Sinner friend, tell me, would you like to be saved today? Would you like to be born again into the family of God? Would you like to begin your journey to heaven starting right now? Well, if so, listen to these scriptures and you'll find that salvation can be yours today through simple faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1 and verse 7 we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In the Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 24, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Again he declares in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me if any man entered in, he shall be saved. And finally I think of the best known verse in all the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, friends, that's salvation. That's how you can become a child of God today, by simply taking God at his word and trusting his Son as the Savior of your soul. No, my friend, there isn't one verse in any Bible on the first face of the earth that says you can reach heaven by good works, church membership, or religious ritual. It's simply trusting God's Son as your own and personal Savior. But friend, please don't put it off. No, make the wise decision today and choose, trust, accept, receive Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because, my friend, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Yes, this might be the last gospel message you'll ever hear. This time tomorrow, my friend, you could be cold in death and yet your soul down in hell, weeping and wailing and grinding your teeth. So, friend, I plead with you today, if the Holy Spirit of God is bringing before you your need of a Savior, please don't put it off. Don't be like that man called King Agrippa and be almost saved. Because, you know, my friend, almost persuaded to accept Christ as your Savior means you're going to spend all eternity in hell and the lake of fire. So, friend, please, I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity, acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Admit that you are lost and perishing and going down to a deserving hell, and then in simple childlike faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee, our God, for his great heart of love that took him to Calvary. We thank thee, our God, for the value and the virtue of his finished work there and the shedding of his precious blood. Now, Father, we think of some who are out in Radio Land today and they've never been saved or born again. They've never had that time in their life's experience when, after having been convicted by the Spirit of God through God's Word, they trusted thy Son as Savior and Lord. O God, we pray that thou will give them neither rest nor peace till they find it in thy beloved Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.